Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Duluth, Minnesota, and earned a BA in social psychology from St. Olave College. Since 2008, she's been the founder and CEO of Walking with Purpose, which is active in 600 parishes in the United States, Europe, and Canada, and helps 50,000 women deepen their relationship with Jesus. The author of Walking with Purpose, Seven Priorities That Make Life Work. Her name, Lisa Brennickmeyer, and we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to a most amazing woman, Lisa Brennickmeyer. Since 2008, she's been the founder and CEO of Walking with Purpose. Lisa, welcome, an honor to have you.
Oh, it's wonderful to be with you today. It's an honor. The honor is mine.
Can we start this evening with an opening prayer, please?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your goodness to us, for the fact that we can connect across the airwaves, and even though we may be far apart from one another, we are knit together in a close community because of you. I just pray that our words in this conversation would bring glory to you, would be a blessing to you, and that our listeners would perhaps receive some encouragement, maybe even a challenge to live life differently, whatever it is, Holy Spirit, that you would desire to move in their hearts. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right. Thank you. Let's go back. Talk about your childhood growing up in Duluth, Minnesota, and your mom and your dad, please.
Oh, sure. Well, I couldn't have grown up in a better place. Duluth was just an incredibly beautiful setting with all the four seasons and just a ton of stability. I honestly hardly have a negative memory of childhood, which I think not a lot of people can say. My mom and dad were really wonderful, faith-filled followers of Christ. I grew up Protestant and really had the benefit of my mom and dad not just exposing me to the best of what was out there in the evangelical church. They really modeled it in the way that they lived. So I just saw consistency, you know, at home, and then was exposed to really, really good age-appropriate teaching that just helped me to grow in my faith each step of the way. I have a younger sister, Amy, and always has been one of my very, very dearest friends. And yeah, Duluth was just an incredible home. I'd go back and live there if I could.
Lisa, what's the coldest day you ever remember in Duluth, Minnesota?
Well, the whole thing, if you're from Duluth, Minnesota, like, you don't just talk about the temp, you talk about the wind chill, right? And so I would say the coldest days was probably when I was in junior high, because I would have to walk in the dark to the bus stop and stand there to wait for my early morning bus so I could go to honor choir. I have real, real memories of this. And yeah, your eyelashes being just kind of brittle from, you know, moisture and then freezing. And also, it was just not the done thing to wear a hat. Like, it just wasn't cool. I mean, it's ridiculous when I think about it now, but I would do this without a hat on my head. And so I have a lot of cold memories of waiting for the bus, and also of my mom bundling my sister and I up in the dead cold of winter and putting us outside, closing the door and locking it, and just saying, now go have fun and play together. And we would just be out there for hours. So a lot of cold days in Duluth, but a lot of fun. Like, we would bring ice skates to school and we could skate during recess. So a lot of fun memories, but yeah, a lot of cold. And
right.
I now live in Florida, so it's rather a contrast.
You marry Leo, the Dutchman, and then in 1992, the two of you moved to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You lived there for 5 years. Why?
Oh, it was for his work. So he was working for a family business in retailing, and we went where they needed us to go. And so we started out in Germany and had five really good you know, interesting years there. Arrived there not speaking any German, so had to dive right in and learn the language while having our first two kids. But those were, they were good years. They were good stretching years, and I grew up a lot. And he was gone a lot. He was traveling a ton for his work, and yeah, that was our starting point, Düsseldorf, Germany.
What's the biggest thing you learned, Lisa, in those 5 years?
Ooh, okay. I would say the big lesson I learned in those 4-5 years is that a woman is wise who does not expect her husband to be that which only the Lord can be. And I think we go into marriage often with expectations that the person we marry is going to complete us, is going to make us happy, is going to, you know, satisfy and fulfill our deepest longings to belong and to be seen and to be known. And I definitely went into marriage with that expectation and early on realized that that was not a realistic expectation to put on another person. And I'm grateful I learned it so early. I learned it in part because of the way my husband traveled and he was gone so much that I simply had to figure out things without leaning so much on him. These are the days, you know, pre-cell phone, pre-email. But what it caused me to do was really, really lean into my relationship with the Lord in a way that I hadn't before. My faith had always been important to me, but this was really different where I needed intimacy with the Lord in a way that I'd never needed him before. I'd always been a very social person, and these were pretty lonely years, to be honest, in the early years, especially before I had kids. And without internet, without cell phones, without a library, without TV in English, I really found that scripture was what was always available to me. And I kind of begrudgingly turned to it kind of like, I have no other options here. But that's what started me on a really deep, deep journey into God's word and into greater intimacy with him through it.
All right. Then you move from Europe to Mexico in 97. You spend 5 years in Mexico. Talk about that chapter.
So that was a really different time. So we went, the people were so different in Mexico. There was just an openness and a happiness and a joy and a warmth that was really different from, you know, a Northern European country. But we went from a super well-ordered country, Germany, to, you know, a country where there were a lot of things that were still developing and a lot of things that couldn't be counted on the way that you would count on them in, you know, in the U.S. or in Europe. And so that would be, you know, I don't know, just like a trustworthy police system, things that way. So there was a lot in those years that felt unsettled to me, that didn't feel, things didn't feel safe to me the way that they had at other points. And I had to learn to rely on the Lord in a completely different way then, and just trusting him in the midst of a lot of circumstances that were just dicey. I mean, there were kidnapping threats. You know, you never went to the bank because there were so many bank robberies that wasn't considered safe. So someone at work would go. There were funny things, you know, that you did in terms of the way that you lived. But at the same time, the people were so incredible. And so there was a lot of joy, but definitely a lot of growth for me in trusting God in circumstances that didn't feel very predictable and in a place where I did not feel like I was really in control, if that makes sense.
We're talking to Lisa Brennickmeyer, and she trusted God in 2002 and did something that has help God create an army of over 50,000 women. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Lisa Brennickmeyer. If you want to learn more, www.walkingwithpurpose.com. Speaking of which, she wrote a book entitled Walking with Purpose, 7 Priorities That Make Life Work. All right, 2002, Lisa, you start a weekly Bible study for women in your Maryland parish.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So by this point, yeah. Well, we had moved to back to the U.S., so that was a big move from Mexico to Annapolis, Maryland. And the reason I started it was really at the request of a small group of moms that were talking about wanting to come together and to do some things for the church, for their kids, a family club. But one of the women at our meeting, our committee meeting, said, you know, all those activities are great for out here. And she kind of gestured outside of herself. And she said, but I want someone to help me in here. And she pointed to her heart and said, who can help me have a personal relationship with God? That's what I want. And I don't know how to get that. And I had led Bible studies over the years. The first Bible study I led was actually in college. And then I had led Bible studies in Germany and also in Mexico. And someone, I don't know how, but had heard about that and turned to me and said, well, would you be willing to lead us? And so that's the way it started. It was eight women coming together, studying the Gospel of Mark. Our kids were next door with a babysitter. And what I really found was that women were desperate for something that connected their Sunday commitment to go to Mass with the rest of their life. They wanted it to intersect their day-to-day, and they wanted it to be a way of delving into their faith and studying their faith, meeting the challenges that they were going through, you know, regularly, right, in the grind of it all as a young mom. And as it turned out, you know, they just as much wanted community, wanted friendship. And so that's really what formed out of that group. And every year our numbers would double. And so it wasn't long before we had 100 women coming in by studying the Bible each week and about 50 kids in a children's program. And I was writing Bible study for the women and a children's program for the kids. And those were just incredible, incredible years of a really beautiful, beautiful community in our parish that was at St. Andrew by the Bay.
We're talking to Lisa Brennickmeyer. If you want to learn more, www.walkingwithpurpose.com. Since 2008, you've been the founder and CEO of Walking with Purpose. What is it, and how did it start?
So it started with that group of eight women in the, you know, in the basement of St. Andrew by the Bay Catholic Church, just coming together, wanting to see how Scripture might speak into their lives personally. And then it grew from there. And when we were at that point where we were about, 100 women, like I said, 50 kids. At that point, people started hearing about what we were doing, and I was asked to go up to Greenwich, Connecticut, and train some women up there to start their own groups, which is what happened. And so groups really started coming to life in Northern Virginia, in Philadelphia, in the Greenwich area, just incredible women, incredible leaders. And so a team came together that was just loaded with ability. And at that point, I met a woman named Julie Ricciardi, who just was an incredibly gifted businesswoman as well. And the two of us came together and were able to really build out together an infrastructure for Walking with Purpose so that it could be in other places, not just where we were. And I began writing more and more Bible studies. We ended up developing a leadership development program so that women were being trained how to love women to Christ and how to lead small groups well, how to coordinate groups, you know, larger groups in their parish well, how to oversee a children's program. And it just started to snowball, because the truth is that it wasn't just women in our areas that were having this longing for community and a relationship with Christ and a desire to know Scripture better. It was all across the country. So for years, we had no proactive marketing. It was simply our own women calling their sister in another state, calling their cousin, calling their college roommate, saying, this is changing my life. You've got to check this out. And so that's how new groups started forming all across the country.
All right. When a person who grows up in Duluth, Minnesota talks about it started to snowball, okay, that's a lot of snow. You've got 560 parishes throughout Canada, Europe, America, 50,000 women and girls. What's amazed you the most?
Oh, you know what's amazed me the most is women's love for other women, and what a game changer that is. What a difference it makes when women, instead of competing and comparing and criticizing one another, decide that they want to create safe spaces for women to come together in community and to drop the mask and drop down their guard. Like, what blossoms in a woman's soul when women around her love her in that way? And I think what's amazing to me is it doesn't matter what state I'm in, what parish I'm in, whether it's urban, whether it's rural, whether it's up in the mountains, big city, small city, it doesn't matter. I see the same love for women reflected in the leaders across the boards. And it's just like, it's like our hearts beat for the same thing. And the result of it is so consistent wherever we go. And it's just been beautiful to see women being willing to be just putty in the hands of the Lord, you know, and just letting his divine love go through them to others. And the fact that there's just so much consistency with that, you know.
Father Theodore Hesburgh, arguably the greatest university president in American history, phenomenally. Notre Dame, he made Notre Dame. And seven, eight, nine presidents would have him do unbelievable stuff. He was one of six men that wrote the civil rights legislation. He led the effort in Paris to end the Vietnam War. He negotiated that. He, Reagan asked him to go and meet with the chief arms negotiator for Russia and America to stop nuclear proliferation. Unbelievable stuff, Lise. And I asked him, he was about 80 years old, I said, Father, if he had one other huge dream in you, what would it be? He said, Jack, that's simple. I would educate every woman on earth. Because if I did, all this war and hatred would stop. Talk to us about the power of women.
Oh, gosh, what a great question. I think that the power of women comes from the fact that women, when they're honest about their own need for healing, their own need for a savior, their own awareness of the fact that they don't have it all perfectly together, they need God, they need help. When they receive that healing from the Holy Spirit, from God, it does not take them long before it's almost like they got the oxygen mask on, they took a deep breath, couple breaths, and they're right back out there going after other people to help save them as well. And you will never, ever encounter anything more fierce and determined than a mother who cares deeply about the whole, about the heart and the soul of her child. And there is a lot of talk, a lot of discouraging talk about, you know, the anxiety and the loneliness, the mental illness among this next generation. And I look at these women as this army of women who will not give up on their kids and who are going to do everything that they can do to love them well and to continue to pray for them and to continue to speak truth into their lives. And I think the potential for that, for an unleashing of mothers across the nation to really fight for their kids, has tremendous potential. But I think women need tools to know how to do that. They need something in their hand in order to have the words. You know, what are we supposed to say in the face of a culture that is saying, you know, God is irrelevant and your views and your values are actually hateful. And so I'm really passionate about giving mothers tools that help them communicate about their faith in a winsome, relevant way to their kids. And what I see is that when they get those tools, they use them combined with prayer in a way that really changes the next generation. And I think we desperately need that today.
We're talking to Lisa Brennick-Meyer. If you want to learn more, www.walkingwithpurpose.com. When we come back, we're going to talk to her, ask her about a one-woman army. We'll find out who that is when you come back. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula. We're with Lisa Brennick-Meyer. We've been waiting a few minutes here. This one-woman army, she happens to be your patron saint, St. Teresa of Lisieux. Tell us about her.
Oh, I have such a devotion to St. Teresa of Lisieux. In fact, this summer I was able to go to her home, back to, you know, where she lived, where she grew up, back to the convent. It was absolutely incredible. And I think the reason why it's such a devotion to Saint Therese is because she had a way of putting in simple terms big gospel truths. She was able to talk about it in a way that the average person could understand it. And I think that is so much what's needed. We have so many rich truths in the Catholic Church and incredible writings, but your average person doesn't know how to open up some of those riches and really digest them and have them make sense. And so I felt like she was always such a model for taking big truth, but making it simple and straightforward, and just her whole little way of spiritual childhood, that it's not about us being so great and us doing so much. It's about just our docility to God and our surrender to Him and our trust in Him, that is where our true power is. And that's a big message of what we talk about in Walking with Purpose, that surrender and that trust is absolutely the most important thing that we can do. It's not even really what we're doing. It's who we are, right? It's a way of being. And she's just such an incredible model of that and of having such a huge impact and hardly traveling at all, right? But her prayers and her wisdom shared, and then now, you know, what she does from heaven is just, yeah, you're right, a one-woman army. It's a great way to describe her.
A lot of great quotes from her. One is, God gives me courage in proportion to my sufferings. I feel at this moment I couldn't suffer anymore, but I'm not afraid, since if they increase, He will increase my courage at the same time. All right. Speaking of surrendering and trusting, let's go to 2016. You come home, Leo, honey, the Lord wants me to do something else. He wants me to start Blaze, BLAZE. I don't know what Leo said, but yes, dear. What is Blaze?
Blaze is something that was born out of my relationship with our daughter. So we have seven children, and our daughter Jane is our fifth. And she came to me at a point that I was pretty busy with Walking with Purpose and didn't feel like I had a lot of spare time. And she said to me, Mom, why do you never do anything for girls my age? She was a middle schooler. And I said to her, well, pretty much because I don't think middle school girls really want your mother stepping into their world and telling them much of anything. And she said, well, you haven't even tried. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's true. And I said, okay, I'll try if you will do it with me. And those were years that I was really finding Jane was really being influenced by a lot that was going on in our culture. And I was just seeing some resistance towards, I don't know, things that she'd been brought up to believe. And this became a great way for she and I to talk through things and talk about how to best present things to someone her age. These are the barriers. These are the things that I'm doubting. And the curriculum of Blaze really developed out of Jane and I talking about what are the barriers to faith for a middle school girl. And what we ended up coming up with together was lies that our culture speaks to girls, and then looking at the truth that counters that through scripture. And so I started at her school and thought it was just going to be something I was doing with Jane, but there was so much demand for it for the same reason that I just shared with moms. Moms want tools. They're like, I do care. It's not that I don't care. I need the words. I need something in hand so I can know how to start having these conversations. And so over time, what I was experimenting on with the girls at the middle school, at her middle school, became a curriculum, which testing it out, you know, testing it in real time with these girls was a great way to write it because I could see what worked, what didn't work. It's been tried and tested. And so, yeah, that's how Blaze began.
Epidemic of depression, suicide amongst our young people right now, and a lot of them. Our greatest natural resource, Lisa, in America, are our young people. That's all we've got. What's the solution to this depression, this suicide?
Well, I think that, it's such a huge problem. I'm not going to, attempt to give a pithy solution to it all. But there's no question that when we take God out of the picture completely, when we say to a generation of kids that there are not universal truths that you can just count on, that in fact, you need to go out and figure all of this out for yourself. We're going to have a pretty confused and untethered generation. So there was so much just in the collective memory and collective wisdom that we received from the generation before us. And we received it gladly. It's like, I don't want to have to reinvent the wheel. You know, mom and dad, grandparents, you know, tell me, you know, the right ways to live in these different ways. And that's really changed so that there is so much of a sense of whether it be your sexual orientation or your gender or your definition of truth or just your definition of reality, who I am, all these things are things that young people are told, you get to define that, as if that's the greatest gift ever, because that's freedom, because you get to pick. But what ends up happening is they don't have the capacity to figure these things out. And so the biggest questions of life, things that used to just be handed to someone, and then that became the foundation they could stand on, we're kind of telling our young people, you get to build it yourself. You get to figure it out yourself. They don't know how to do it. And so they have no foundation. So I think the more that we step in and really learn how to speak to these generations in really loving, accessible ways, meeting them first in relationship, but then saying, listen, there are answers to these questions. You don't have to figure all of this out. And when we describe who they are in Christ in a really positive way, it draws them in. And probably the most exciting work I've been doing in the past 5 years has been with high school girls. And so I've got a new curriculum coming out for them. It's going to take a little while to get it through the production lines, but I'm just finishing it up right now. And that comes after, you know, years of trying this material out, meeting these girls in these places of anxiety and despair and discouragement and total identity confusion. And step by step, loving them in such a way that they feel safe to come with their questions, and then gently leading them towards answers, and their answers that settle them. And I have seen total change in these girls, total change in these girls. I really have. And so they're open. They want to be taught, but they want to be loved first.
What have they taught you, Lisa Brennick-Meyer?
Well, they've taught me to have hope. You know, I feel like there's so much out there that's so negative about our culture and the state of the world and the state of our country. And I look at them and they teach me to hope, because I see in them, you know, they're a generation that's spoken about in a way that, quite frankly, makes me terrified to think of getting older and being cared for by them, you know. And then I'm with them and I'm like, oh, no, they're curious, they're questioning, they are, they're hungry for truth. And something that I think they're going to teach my generation is the importance of compassion and of truly living out our faith in a way that cares for the marginalized. I think that their desire to see each person treated as a person of dignity goes beyond what I think we've seen in previous generations. And I learn a lot from them in that regard.
We're talking to Lisa Brennick-Meyer. When we come back, we're going to talk to her about her greatest role to date. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Crisula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I I'm Jack Pasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Lisa Brenickmeyer. Your greatest role to date has been as a wife and a mother to 7 children, and now a grandmother to 5 grandsons. Talk about being a wife, a mother, and a grandmother. And we only have 8 minutes, okay?
Okay. No, there's nothing in my life that's brought me greater joy than both those roles. And all I've ever really wanted to be is a wife and mom, you know, and these other things developed, and has surprised me, because I've been very content to create home and to tend to these souls that God has entrusted to me. And I've always thought that it's really important to have my priorities in the right order, that God comes first and that my husband comes next before my kids. And I think that's a real temptation always for moms. We love our kids in a way that, you know, there's just nothing like it. And it can be really tempting to prioritize them over our husbands. But, you know, I now have 4 adult kids, you know, who have left, you know, 3 of whom have started their own families. And it really is a reminder to me that at the end of the day, it's you and your husband who are there, you know, who end up staying. And it's really important to continue always to invest in that relationship. And I think it really has given our kids a tremendous amount of security to see my husband and I prioritizing each other, not over them in the sense of neglecting them, but prioritizing each other in terms of, you know, a weekly date night, going away together, and having, you know, just times where we can really look at our family, look at our marriage, plan, pray, think. That's the primary relationship in our home. And our kids are invited into that secure relationship. And, you know, we've built our family. Being a mom has been such a joy to me. I have loved having a big family. I come from a small family with just a sister. And so to have had all these boys has been really so fun. And I've learned the boys are so much more tender than I ever thought growing up. And I've learned so much from my kids. And it's fun to have, you know, a big spread of kids. Our oldest is 30. Our youngest is 10. And so we are kind of in all sorts of different stages of life. And there's probably nothing that I enjoy more than, you know, hearing my son Johnny sing, seeing my sons Will and Laika playing soccer, seeing Jane on the stage, seeing Charlotte dancing, seeing Amy mothering. You know, I get to see these things in my kids. My son Bobby, can't leave him out. He's also a phenomenal soccer player. And just seeing them do what brings them joy as a mom is just incredible.
We're talking to Lisa Brenickmeyer, www.walkingwithpurpose.com. She's, in the last 15 years, has created an army of 50,000 women. All right, I quote again another quote from St. Therese of Lisieux. The loveliest masterpiece of the heart of God is the love of a mother. Tell us about a mother's love.
Well, a mother's love is a love that can be counted on in all circumstances. It is as unconditional a love, an earthly love, as I think you'll find. There is, you know, speaking at least from my own mother's heart, there is nothing that any of my children could ever do that would cause me to withdraw my love. And I think that loyalty and being that safe place is really such a gift for a kid to have, you know, for his or her whole life. I think that a mother knows her kids really, really well. I've made a study of my children and have prayed for them since they were in the womb. And I think that's maybe the greatest way that I've loved them, is by praying for them from the minute I knew that, you know, God had sent them to me. And one of my favorite things to do is to pray through the Bible over the lives of my kids. And so I haven't gotten through everybody yet. You know, there are a lot of them, but I've been reading through the Bible for the past 5 years, committing a year to one of my kids, where I go through every verse and underline promises to claim, examples to follow, and I journal in the margin prayers for that child. And every time I've done that, I've seen the Lord move in a mighty way in that child's life, always in very different ways, always in very unexpected ways, but ways that have made very clear that He is at work in that child's life. And that's how I'm choosing to love them, especially the adult ones that are, you know, far from home now, but I can still love them through my prayers.
All right. We met through a mutual friend Father John Ricardo, an unbelievable human being and a phenomenal salesman for God. You're actually on his board, I believe, of Acts 29. Lisa,
I am.
What's the biggest thing you've learned from Father John Ricardo?
Oh, boy, so much. I don't even know where to begin. He models leadership in a way that I have never seen, and a love for the people that he serves alongside, where he models treating them truly as family. And he teaches me what it means to be authentically human as we serve the Lord together. He also has taught me just nuanced ways of speaking truth with dicey topics. Like, I think he's just got an incredible ability to speak into challenges in our culture, into topics that a lot of people would be like, ooh, I don't even want to go near that. It's going to alienate people. And I've learned a lot from him about how to talk about things in a way that is winsome, is disarming, but is also honest and true to our faith. I've also seen in him just, such honesty and humility and vulnerability. I don't know anyone who serves the Lord more tirelessly and with a greater purity of spirit, of motive. I trust him completely, and I think his voice is the most important prophetic voice in the American church. I really do.
Wow. All right. With that, as our time's winding down, could you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, you don't expect that we do just huge Instagram-worthy things for you. You ask us to show up in the small day-to-day moments with faithfulness. You are looking at us, and you're not looking for huge accomplishments that people notice and big accolades. You're wanting us to simply love right where we are. And for you, those are the big things. So help us to love well. Help us to emulate St. Teresa of Lisieux. Help us to emulate your Blessed Mother, to love in the hard places, to love in the hidden places, to love even when it means suffering. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, help us to be a little bit more like Lisa Brenickmeyer. Thanks a million for being
kind
on the show.
Thank you so much, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasuha. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.
Believe in yourself.